بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله تعالى على آلائه، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم رسله وسيد أنبيائه، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأوليائه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين، وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله. لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I start the subject, we need to practice it and do the least of multiplicity, which is three times of the best statements of dhikr, La ilaha illallah. I need you all to close your eyes, and every time I say La ilaha illallah, you repeat after me, La ilaha illallah, with the same way, the same prolongation. Understanding that we are taking from our hearts everything other than Allah, and confirming that there is nothing in our heart but Allah. In reality, in this universe, there is only one God. But in our hearts, in our minds, in our practice, usually we rely on other than Him. We turn to other than Him. We show several forms of multiplicity of gods. In reality, La ilaha illallah, there shouldn't be in our hearts, in our minds, when we direct ourselves, when we have fear or hopes, when we ask, when we do something, we know that there is only one God. And this is the benefit, or some of the benefits, of the repetition of the statement, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. If we truly understand the meaning of this statement, we should be in a state of ecstasy, overjoyed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is only Allah. There is only Allah in our hearts. There is only Allah we worship. There is only Allah we turn to. Anything done to us, good or bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His doing. Any favor people extend to us, it is His favors. Any harm people do to us, it is from Him for some wisdom. People veil us often from the real works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from witnessing His qudra, His omnipotence, from seeing His wisdom. This is why I would like to start with this statement, La ilaha illallah, when talking about the remembrance of Allah, ذكرullah ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, أفضل ما قلته أنا والنبيون من قبلي لا إله إلا الله. The best of what I and the prophets before me ever said is لا إله إلا الله. Talking about dhikr, remembrance of Allah, or remembering Allah, remembrance of Allah is dhikrullah. Remembering Allah would be translated as an-nadhkur Allah. Leads us to talk about the meanings of dhikr in the beginning. The meanings of dhikr, especially in the terminology of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Linguistically speaking, dhikr is opposite of ghafla, opposite of forgetfulness or heedlessness. Dhakara, to remember, and later on it developed to mean to mention. The opposite of it is ghafala or nasiya, both to forget or to be heedless. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, this is a very common use in general terms when it addresses the very remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His verses and His bounties. But on a narrower scale, we have dhikr used specifically to mean, for example, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the one who revealed the dhikr. Dhikr here specifically refers to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we are the ones who are going to protect it, to preserve it. Dhikr here is Al-Quran. وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. We have revealed the dhikr to you so that you clarify to mankind what has been revealed to them, for them, from their Lord. Dhikr again here is Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, and so on. Why? Because the best forms of dhikr is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the surahs and the verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. People who practiced dhikr, people who studied the principles of dhikr, people who studied works of the great Sufi masters, understand that almost every verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem is used as dhikr on certain occasions for some benefits. And there are a lot of benefits in repeating Al-Fatiha, for example. Fatiha as a wird, repetition of the surah, is a cure from misguidance and a source of guidance to anyone who repeats it, maintains it. It's a source of remedy, can be recited, for example, 7 times every morning. And then you wipe over your body after blowing in your hands. You use your hands to wipe over your body together with Al-Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, and An-Nas. Al-Fatiha is Shifa, Al-Shafiya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named it Al-Shafiya in the famous hadith which Al-Imam Al-Bukhari narrated of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri. He recited Surah Al-Fatiha for someone who was beaten by a scorpion and wanted some remedy, some readings, as Arabs before Islam believed that reading something on a person who is beaten by snakes or scorpions would give him cure. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri did this. This is a famous hadith. And he took for that a herd of sheep. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, how did you know? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهَا الشَّافِيَةِ How did you know it's a remedy? How did you know it's a cure? قَالَ أَلْهَمَنِي اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ Allah inspired me. He recited only Surah Al-Fatiha. Only Surah Al-Fatiha. We don't know the impact of reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem or doing dhikr with the surahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. It happened to me once in Damascus that I traveled a few years ago for 1 week and my home was empty. And a thief came in, a burglar, tried to break one door. All the rooms were open except my library. It was locked. And when I locked the door of my library, I stood beside the door and recited Ayatul Kursi once. And took the key of the library room and put it in the bedroom, in a drawer just beside the bed. So very simple for any burglar to find the key. I recited Ayatul Al-Kursi there. And the burglar came in and didn't take anything, was trying to break in this room with a piece of metal, it seemed. Almost the door and the panel around the door were severely damaged, but he couldn't open the door. However, the same library room has another access through the balcony of another room. And the door was open. I forgot to lock it. And I don't want to say that the burglar was dull, but I would like to say this is the impact of Ayatul Kursi. This is the impact of Ayatul Al-Kursi. We don't know the impact of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Al-Quran al-Kareem is the best forms of dhikr. This is a science called Khawassul Quran al-Azim, the characteristics or the benefits of the verses and the surahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Not only for protection, but for other reasons. For example, if you have a baby and the baby is crying for no reason, you recite from Al-Quran Al-Kareem, وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَّا هَمْسًا All voices are calmed for the most merciful so that you don't hear anything except murmuring. وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَّا هَمْسَ We saw the proofs of these verses and countless verses, hundreds of verses, I would say, throughout my life, with miracles happening around. For example, someone suffers from sleeplessness. Then you recite from the story of the people of the cave, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ You think they are awake, but they are sleeping. Or another verse talking about the battle of Badr, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ When he reveals on you sleep out of security from him. This is during the battle of Badr. But because of the divine words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is divine power there. This is why words have power. Words have power. And the source of all forms of dhikr is Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. Like Hizbul Bahr, for example, of Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadhili, he says every word in it is from Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. This is why when coming to practice dhikr, we need to have, first of all, strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in what we are doing. You're not trying something, because this is not subject to what we may call marginal error or error factor. This is not proven in labs. And there is 0.1 error factor, as in every theory in science. No. This is absolute. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may take a medicine prescribed from your doctor and try it and say, I'm trying it, I don't know. Especially if it is a new medicine. And you know, in medicine now, every couple of years, they tell you that the old medicine now is harmful, there is something better. Always. I got some antibiotics 2 days ago, and last year or the year before, I used to get something different. And this time, they gave me something new. They said the old one now discovered to have several side effects. It's not good. It's subject to trial and error, but not the medicines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. The medicines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed by Him, or by, I would say, His agent, because the only one we have on the face of the earth to transmit to us the divine instructions is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he says something, he doesn't speak of his own passion. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It's only something revealed to him, revelation sent down on him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he speaks also, we have to take his words for granted. We don't have another option. That is one reason why many people do dhikr and they never see any results. Because they don't have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they don't see the power in the words they are reciting. Or sometimes they don't have the perfect adab of invoking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or reciting Al-Quran al-Kareem, or doing dhikr, lacking the adab. But the adab of al-batin, the inward, the heart, is more important. And from it stems all the adab of the members of the body. So you have to have strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the power of His words. So dhikr, first of all, means Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. Second, in Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, we have dhikr referring to knowledge. Knowledge is dhikr. And the ulama, such as Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Al-Imam al-Suyuti, and others, explained that there are several forms of dhikr. Seeking knowledge is a form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because knowledge should remind you of Allah. So you study fiqh, you're studying the divine injunctions, tafsir al-Quran, interpretation of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or its principles, the methodology of hadith. You're studying the words of the sunnah, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even grammar, which is a subject quite far from the religious subject, ulum al-sharia, it's called one of ulum al-alat, the instrumental sciences, but your intention is to understand Al-Quran al-Kareem in Arabic. Your intention is to perfect the reading of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the most eloquent of all Arabs. So every form, every domain of knowledge is dhikr. This is very obvious, in the field of the sciences of the Sharia, but in other fields it might be difficult for people. But I believe if we have amongst you here any scientists, any people who are studying chemistry, physics, math, zoology, studying astronomy, you should know that the study of any of these disciplines is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we maintain observation of Allah, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our life. Even when you go to attend, let's say, business administration, I think most people nowadays, young people in colleges, study something like business administration, marketing and so on, right? How many people here are studying or graduated in business? There must be a lot. So business administration should remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should find the odds against the Sharia. You should find what is coherent or compatible with the Sharia. You should see the wisdom of the divine laws in everything you observe in your studies. Actually, business administration is al-mu'amalat in fiqh. In fiqh, you study how to administer business. They call it now business administration. It is al-mu'amalat. Al-ibadat are known. Al-tahara, introduction to al-salah, then al-siyam, al-zakah, al-hajj, al-ayman, wal-nuzur. Those are the sections on al-ibadat. Afterwards come al-mu'amalat, variety of subjects like buying, usury, money exchange, farming, and so on. So this is, in Islam, called business administration, how to administer business in real life according to the divine laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every area should remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should be dhikr. So, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Allah didn't say, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ. People of knowledge. He didn't say, ask people of knowledge. He said, ask people of remembrance, dhikr. But it means here people of knowledge. Why? Because if you want to ask a question of in fiqh, would you go to an orientalist to ask him? There are several orientalists who know fiqh very well. And some of them authored marvelous works. There is this German orientalist, I forgot his name, wrote a book on the sources of the Maliki fiqh. I think 4 people or 6 people worked on the translation of this book. And it is just a book of 200 pages. One author, a German orientalist, I met 1993 in Bonn, I think. And I think 6 people worked on the translation and reviewing the translation and the preface of the book. 6 Arabs translated the book from German to Arabic. Would you ask an orientalist any question in fiqh in your deen? Would you trust him for your deen? You wouldn't. He's one of the people of knowledge, Ahl al-ilm. He has ilm. He has knowledge, but he doesn't have practice. He has knowledge, but he doesn't have practice. Now, what would be the benefit of knowledge if it doesn't remind you that you have to adhere to what you have studied? You have to practice what you have studied. Knowledge becomes a weapon that works against you. Or in a beautiful example set forth by Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, knowledge is like a non-controllable horse. You ride it, it will throw you away. The only way to control it is by practice. You practice, then you ride safely. But still, you are endangered. And you need something to give you an assurance that to the end of the journey, you're not going to be thrown off the back of the horse. What's that? It is ikhlas. So we have knowledge, practice, and ikhlas, sincerity, in your ibadah and in your practice. These 3 together, 3 elements, make dhikr here and make knowledge. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask people of knowledge if ye do not know. But even you can see how shallow the English translation looks when we put it in front of the Arabic. We can never replace the Arabic. Because I read the English, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, ask people of knowledge. It doesn't give me what the Arabic gives me. I read the Arabic, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, I know dhikr has something behind knowledge. Knowledge and something added to it. This is why any other language can never express the meanings of, or some of the meanings even of Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. Now coming to talk about dhikr, I don't want to elaborate much on the other meanings of dhikr in Al-Quran al-Kareem, because this is a very vast subject, and I would like to delve into the actual dhikr, to see how much we practice of dhikr, and the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged for people who are practicing dhikr. First of all, we need to understand that there is no one single act of worship, ibadah, in Al-Quran al-Kareem described with the word much, kathir, except dhikr. Prayer, zakah, fasting, aqimu salah, atu zakah, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, walillahi ala al-nasi hijjul bayt. Various ibadat in Al-Quran al-Kareem mentioned, but it's only one ibadah coupled with the word kathira, a lot. Do it a lot. Do it a lot. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allah dhikran kathira. O ye who believe, do dhikr of Allah a lot. A lot. We have other verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the various categories of the believers and their characteristics, what distinguishes every group and category of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the best of them at the end, and he says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is described to us in one beautiful hadith, كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ أَحْيَانِهِ. In all of his states, throughout his time, he used to make mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the definition of much when we read in the Quran al-Kareem? A lot, a lot, a lot. What is a lot? A lot means you do it until you're known for it. You do it until you are known for it. When I meet a businessman, I know his preoccupation is business. When you meet a lawyer, you know he speaks of law. So his preoccupation is law. People speak so you know you can distinguish. After a short conversation or sitting with a person for a few minutes, you can know his area of interest. Now, would you be known for dhikr whenever you meet people? Whenever you meet people, would you be known for dhikr? There are people in the past, when meeting others, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allah, 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 Allah. How are you? Allah, 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 Allah. Did you have breakfast? Allah, 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 Allah. All they do is dhikr. They do the necessary. Someone sneezes, yarhamukumullah. Allah, 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 back. So you talk to them, all they do is dhikr. This is a lot. This is why some of the scholars, it is narrated as a hadith, أن تذكر الله حتى يقال مجنون. The definition of a lot, to make mention of Allah until people say you're crazy, you're insane. And to be honest, even you coming to the masjid and spending this evening in masjid, in the sight of many other people away from the deen, they think you're crazy. We are in this time, unfortunately. Unfortunately, the moment you let your beard grow and you wear a jillaba, people will call you a dervish. People start mocking you. People start making fun of you. In our time, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about following his sunnah, المتمسك بسنتي عند فساد أمتي له أجر سبعين شهيدا. Anyone who holds fast, anyone who clings to my sunnah, in the time of corruption, عند فساد أمتي, will have the rewards of 70 martyrs. منا أو منهم, of us or of them, قال بل منكم. قالوا ولما يا رسول الله, of you, 70 martyrs of you, the صحابة. Why? They asked. قال لأنكم تجدون على الحق أعوانا ولا يجدون على الحق أعوانا. Because you find people helping you on the path of truth, but they don't find people helping them on the path of truth. I know that some of you probably don't have help from their parents. Some don't have help from their colleagues. But this is the struggle and this is the beauty of it. And here I would like to mention to all of you who are in such circumstances, you don't have much help in your deen, in your family or at work, that look at the words of Al-Imam Ibn Ata' Allah Al-Sakandari rahimahullah ta'ala in his supplication. إلهي ماذا فقد من وجدك وماذا وجد من فقدك. O my Lord, he who has found you, what else has he lost? O my Lord, he who has lost you, what else has he found? If you have Allah on your side, would you worry about anything? Would you fear anything? If you have Allah on your side, that is the best thing you get in this dunya, to have Allah on your side. This is why people who committed to this deen, people who committed themselves to the practice of the sunnah, people who started praying, they should feel proud. We're humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led us to this way. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have. Wealthy people will have to answer for their wealth on the day of judgment. But you come on the day of judgment without wealth, you enter Al-Jannah very quickly. Very easy. You will be asked about La tazulu qadama abdin, the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the feet of a servant won't be removed, won't enter Al-Jannah on the Day of Judgment until he's asked about four things. عن عمره فيما أفناه, of your life, you will be asked of your lifespan. How did you spend it? وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه, of your youth, you young people here. Young people, you will be asked about these golden days of your life. Because you can learn, you can memorize, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, you can fast. There are people amongst you who reach the age of 70 or 80, either sick or too old or too weak. They can't fast. Of course, there is a license for them. There's always room. And they get the rewards of fasting. They get the rewards of all of the habits in ta'a they used to do before. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. One of the interpretation of Surah At-Teen. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Except people who believe and act righteously, for them there is ongoing reward. There are ongoing rewards for these people. According to the interpretation of some of the students of Ibn Abbas, this verse addresses the people who get old and weak or sick, and they can't continue doing the same acts of worship they used to do before, so they get a retirement policy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A retirement policy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is, you stop worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way. You can't fast now, but you get the rewards of fasting. You can't pray standing, you have to pray sitting, but you still get the same rewards of praying standing. But what about us young people? Young people, youth. One poet says, إِنَّ الشَّبَابَ وَالْفَرَاغَ وَالْجِدَةَ مَفْسَدَةٌ لِلْمَرْءِ أَيُّ مَفْسَدَةٌ. The years of youth and time and money are sources of misguidance, sources of temptations, turning to waste your time in masiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all. So you will be asked of your early years of youth, how do you spend them? Every wish of the people of the dunya, all the wishes of the people of the dunya is to get to Al-Jannah. But you know what are the wishes of the people of Al-Jannah? The wish of the people of Al-Jannah is to get back to life to worship Allah more. Because they see the rewards there and how much they missed. Our wish in this life is to get to Al-Jannah. But inshallah, we'll get to Al-Jannah. We will get to Al-Jannah, all of us, inshallah, out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of Al-Jannah wish to go back to the dunya to invest every moment of their life in ta'a, in ibadah, and in dhikr. Beautiful. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ. You will be asked of your knowledge. What did you do with it? Did you study and put your books on the shelf and forget your studies in the Sharia? Did you pick up a piece of knowledge or a legal ruling in fiqh or a piece of admonishment and then got excited for few hours, for few days, then left everything? No, we are talking here about things we need to go and practice. We are talking about radical changes in our lives. You think I'm coming from Syria here just to teach a book to a group of students? I wouldn't have come, because you have a lot of teachers, you have a lot of ulama amongst you here, mashallah, especially in the Pakistani community. You have great ulama here, you don't know their value and their rank. I haven't come but to talk to you so that you and others can change the stream of their lives. This is what we need. We need to commit ourselves to the deen. We need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problems of the Muslim ummah lie in us here in this masjid, in every individual amongst us. When we are better, the ummah will be better. In this masjid, in another masjid, in a third masjid, in a fourth masjid. I have traveled in the past 10 months, I think, 11 times, from as far as South Africa to the UK. And alhamdulillah, everywhere I go, I see a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of love, but there is no good orientation. All what we do is, we listen to the talk, we get excited, we wait when the speaker is coming back. No, we need to take these words and practice them. We need to change our lives. Go home. If there is ma'asiyah in your home, try to stop it. Talking to parents. If you don't practice sunnah, for example, try to practice it. If you miss Fajr prayer, don't miss it. Maintain it. Because there will come a day when you will feel sorry and regret every minute you lost. Every minute you didn't invest in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see how much you get and earn in Al-Jannah. In a beautiful hadith, this is the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam met Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Sayyiduna Ibrahim. There was a conversation. In this conversation, Sayyiduna Ibrahim said, give your ummah salam from me. So since I received this hadith with a chain of transmission, I tell you, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from Sayyiduna Ibrahim, on behalf of Sayyiduna Ibrahim. Sayyiduna Ibrahim, our forefather and the father of prophets, asked our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey salam to his ummah and tell them, أقرئ أمتك مني السلام وأخبرهم أن الجنة طيبة التربة وأنها قيعان غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Tell your ummah that the soil of Al-Jannah is perfumed. Azbatul Ma, the water of Al-Jannah is pure. And Jannah has valleys, all green. It's all planted. You plant it, the trees, how to plant it is Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Imam Abu al-Faraj ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his counsel to his son, he says, oh, how many trees we missed to plant in Al-Jannah. Imagine how many trees we missed to plant in Al-Jannah. I'm not talking about trees like these trees. What is the biggest tree in the world today? Anyone knows? I read, I think, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, in an article in a magazine, that there is a big tree in Japan. They opened through it a street. They opened a street through the tree. I read this 30 years ago. I don't know what's the biggest tree in the world now. You can look it up and tell me later. But between Al-Jannah and the earth, only names are similar. The tree of Al-Jannah is as vast as you can travel underneath its shade and branches for 500 years. This is the tree of Al-Jannah, one single tree of Al-Jannah. See how much you missed in Al-Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam says that the feet of the servant will not be removed on the day of judgment until he's asked about four things. We talked about three. The fourth one is about his wealth, where he got it, how he spent it. About everyone, you will be asked one question. What did you do with your lifespan? What did you do with the early years of your youth? What did you do with your knowledge? But when it comes to money, you will be asked twice. How did you get it? And how did you spend it? So if you don't have money, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're not going to be asked on the day of judgment. You enter Al-Jannah very fast, very quickly. Abdurrahman ibn Awf, radiyallahu ta'ala, one of the 10 people promised Al-Jannah. In one hadith, he is one of the last people who would enter Al-Jannah, or he would enter Al-Jannah crawling, habwan, because of his wealth. Although he's promised Al-Jannah, although he has spent so much wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is for us an example just to give us solace if we don't have wealth, and also to warn us if we have wealth, that we have to do a lot in order to deserve Al-Jannah. I don't mean by deserve here, deserve it by our works, but to be granted Al-Jannah by the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see here, brothers and sisters, how much we have to do in order to be of the people of dhikr. I was talking about kathira, much. What's the definition of it? Until people say you are insane. أن تذكر الله حتى يقال مجنون. People say you are insane. مجنون. That is to say, you're out of this world. You are in it in your body. You do your work, you go to college, you live with your family, but your preoccupation, your concentration is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very possible. This is very possible. People can eat and watch TV. They do two things together. People do this often. They shouldn't. They shouldn't have the combination. I don't mean they shouldn't eat. They shouldn't eat and watch TV. You can eat, but you cannot eat and watch TV, and you cannot watch TV. So you have to take all the logical possibilities so that no one hunts any fatwa. All right. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do much dhikr. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Make mention of Allah a lot, a lot, a lot. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he talked about dhikr, he made so many statements. I made a collection of 40 hadiths on dhikr and the virtues of dhikr. You can ask for it. The brothers have it. I taught it, I think, last year or the year before. 40 hadiths on dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its virtues. However, some of the probably most beautiful statements is the divine hadith. A divine hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is agreed upon in Bukhari and Muslim, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي مَا ذَكَرَنِي وَتَحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ فَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي وَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَإِنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا وَإِنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ بَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَإِنْ جَاءَنِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً. Look at this beautiful hadith to see some of the results of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, and the words are of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a hadith Qudsi, a divine statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, I am at the best opinion my servant has of me. Even if anyone is the most sinful person, don't be in despair. Think that the door of mercy is open for you and there is room for you in Al-Jannah. A person, in one hadith, a person was taken to fire. Before entering the fire at its door, he was thinking, I thought Allah would put me in Al-Jannah. All his thoughts until that moment were that he would be in Al-Jannah out of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ordered the angels because of his opinion of Allah, because of his thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take him to Al-Jannah. And you know how much now despair affects people in business, in emotional relationships between people, and the same also in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despair affects people a lot. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my servants who have gone astray, giving the rain to themselves, don't be in despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. Allah forgives all sins. This is عام خُصَّة, specified by another verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah doesn't forgive shirk. Allah doesn't forgive kufr. So there is no opportunity any kafir would enter al-Jannah until or unless they became Muslims and uttered the word أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. So see here the good opinion we have and we must have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am at the best opinion my servant has of me. أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. ما ذكرني, as long as he's mentioning my name, as long as he's remembering me. وتحركت بي شفتاه, and his lips moved with my names. Can you see any difference in your mouth, in your throat, in your chest, with the air you're inhaling and exhaling, from when you speak vain talks and when you do dhikr or recite Quran? Can you see the difference? Sometimes, wallahi, I'm not exaggerating. I recite Quran, I smell the air with something like musk. When I do dhikr, sometimes I feel it. I feel that the air is fragrant. The air. How would you dare with the same tongue, with the same lips, with the same throat, with the same chest, where all of the letters come from, then speak vain talks, say swear words, or backbite? In one story of Al-Hasan al-Basri, you're familiar with Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that he sat with some people and they mentioned something that would be considered ghiba, backbiting, not direct backbiting, something. And he was silent. He didn't say anything. He went home. He saw in his dream a huge, ugly man forcing pork in his mouth. Al-Hasan al-Basri in the dream was saying, this is haram in our deen. I don't eat it. I can't eat it. He didn't swallow any of it. He got up in the morning. He said he had the smell of pork for 40 days later. From the dream. What did he do? He just kept silent. He's not the person who did the backbiting. It wasn't really a direct backbiting. Interpretation could be interpreted as backbiting. See the impact of it? Because of his level of sensitivity, his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his transparency in dhikr. This is what dhikr gives you. And we'll talk about the benefits of dhikr inshallah in another talk. This is a very vast subject. How much we can benefit from dhikr. The least is this transparency. Because you're strengthening your soul against your body. The rule in this world, here, as long as we are on the face of the earth, is to our bodies over our souls. That is to say, the physical laws apply. So we don't see the souls, we cannot control our souls, arwah. On the day of judgment, although the same combination is there, body and soul, and this is the doctrine of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, by the way, that we will be resurrected, bodies and souls. Together, the souls are breathed, and the body growing from the earth like small plants, as the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentioned. And we will enter al-Jannah, bodies and souls, but the control is for the souls over the bodies. The opposite of this life. And this is a very beautiful distinction between the laws of this life and the laws of al-Jannah. Here, these physical laws apply, but in al-Jannah, the laws which apply are the laws of the souls, al-arwah. The more we eat, we're strengthening our bodies. The more dhikr you do, you're strengthening your soul. The transparency of the mind, of the heart, and of the soul comes from dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they tell you even in modern literature that lie down for 5 minutes so that you can concentrate. That is to say, don't talk, don't watch TV, don't get busy with anything, just concentrate. And they tell you, you get few minutes of concentration. Now, what if you do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His dhikr? How much you're going to get of transparency so that you can see through things, you can see the future, you can get alarming signs when something is done to you, when something is going to happen to you. You can see what's of benefit and what's harmful to you. You get this vision with dhikr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith, as long as He is remembering me and as long as His lips are moving with my names. فَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. When He makes mention of me within Himself, I make mention of Him within myself. When He makes mention of me in a group, I make mention of Him in a group better than them. You say La ilaha illallah now in this group, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of you amongst the angels. Say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. You can be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of you. Your name is mentioned. You're mentioning Allah's name. Your name is mentioned. The angels are now exchanging your name. And by whom? It is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the virtue of making dhikr in groups. Because some people disagree with this and are against making dhikr in groups. There are countless proofs that dhikr in groups is recommended, not only allowed, but recommended in the Sharia. So, إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ. When He makes mention of me within Himself, I make mention of Him within myself. Of course, myself here is ambiguous. We don't know its interpretation. This is al-mutashabih. وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُمْ. When you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one hand length, this is shibr, one hand length, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer to you, one arm length. Also, this is mutashabih, ambiguous. It means you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to you with more bounties, with more divine gifts. And by the way, if someone does you some favor, money, let's say, gave you a gift, you would reward him by giving him a gift, money, right? If someone, let's say, praises you, the way to pay him off is by praising him. And so on. So, now that you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would you expect in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In return to at-ta'a. The best thing you can present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acts of worship. Would you get in return money? The cheapest thing? You think you get money? You expect to get money? Then you're not a good dealer. You think you get good health? You're not a good dealer. Because there are more important things. You do ta'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get from Him His love. You get from Him His qurb, closeness. You get from Him tajalliyat, transcendence, meanings pouring in your mind, pleasure. You get from Him the sweetness of iman. You get from Him not only al-jannah. Al-jannah is guaranteed to many sinful people even.
You get from him far beyond al-Jannah, the beatific vision. You get a lot of things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do dhikr, don't expect in return that the actual reward would be money or wealth or business or success. Because success is measured in this life by how much Allah loves you, by how much you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best reward you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any ta'ah you do is leading you to another ta'ah. The best reward you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you follow a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading you to practice another sunnah. That is the best reward. Here you can judge your state, you can tell whether Allah loves you or not. But you pray, you get some money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the dunya to all people, even his enemies. The unbelievers enjoy more power and more wealth over ages and over times. And the proportion of the believers to the unbelievers is beyond imagination. The believers are always less than the unbelievers. To the extent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compared all Muslims and this ummah, all on the day of judgment, like a white hair on a black ball, or a black hair on a white ball. There will be on the day of judgment 1,000 people. Out of 1,000 people, one of these people will be of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and will enter al-Jannah. They said, where are the rest? 999 out of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, he said. So the believers are always less. But don't be upset. You have to struggle. You have to struggle and do a lot within yourself. Going on to see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear to us. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. If you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one arm length, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer to you farther and farther and more and more. وَمَنْ جَاءَنِي يَمْشِي. If you walk, that is to say, example of your himmah, your strength, your energy, your aspiration, your stamina while performing ta'at. What is your himmah? How would you do it? When you get up for Fajr prayer, let's say, how do you get up? Do you put the alarm and immediately you get up and you start preparing yourself and your wudu and praying seriously, or you shut the alarm and you continue sleeping until one of your parents comes to remind you it's prayer time, only 10 minutes left, come up, you come up lazy, oh, I'm tired, really. So how do you come? الإمام ابن عطاء الله السكندري says, إذا أردت أن تعرف قدرك عند الله فانظر في ماذا أقامك. If you want to know your position before Allah, know where He put you, where you are. Praying 5 times in the masjid every day? Or what? Doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or neglecting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem about these people who neglect Allah. نسوا الله فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, He forgot them. Allah doesn't forget, it means He doesn't provide them. He doesn't reward them. This is the meaning of it. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. نَسُوا اللَّهَ, worse than this even. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. They forgot about Allah, He made them forget about themselves. This is why many unbelievers live like animals. All they do is eating, drinking, breeding, watching TV, going to work, collecting some money, buying a home, a car, then they die. Animals do all these things better than us, on every level. So, see how much you are serious in coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example is, if you come walking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comes to you running. Which means, the least you do, more rewards and more encouragement come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People, I'm sure, people who practice ta'at sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would know it. I know it from the early years of my life. Every time I try to practice a sunnah, I find myself practicing it and being led to another sunnah to practice. Every time you maintain a ta'ah, after a while you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you another ta'at to practice. Ta'at generate ta'at. Sunnahs generate sunnahs, more. But ma'asiyah generates more ma'asiyah. This is why you see most people who, even out of negligence or out of heedlessness or carelessness and indifference, they go and commit some sins. They find themselves going back and forth again to do more sins, to perpetrate more sins, to transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very bad. Why? Because you do not have the reign of your life in your hand. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. They forgot about Allah. He made them forget about themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ جَاءَنِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً. See how beautiful it is. When you make mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all about dhikr. It's all about dhikr. Can we, brothers and sisters, with the little information I provided now, with this little that we learned, we heard, can we go home and try to make dhikr the tissues of our life? Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so easy. No money, no energy, no time. You can do it while driving. You can do it while shopping. You can do it while walking in the streets. You can do it while sitting at home. You can do dhikr at every moment, in every situation. And any time you sit and you don't do dhikr, you finish the meeting, you leave your home without doing dhikr, you know the smell? The Prophet says in one beautiful hadith, I say beautiful because the Prophet gives the best examples. But when we look at us not doing dhikr and we read the hadith, really we should be worried. Not only worried, we should be scared, horrified. Anyone who sits for some time doing something in a session, in a meeting, and leaves without doing dhikr, the smell would be like a dead donkey, decaying, jifat himar. And revenge will be taken from you because you sat for 1 hour and you didn't do dhikr. Because throughout this hour, now when you sit for 1 hour anywhere, doing anything, aren't you receiving the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aren't you under His protection? Aren't you enjoying the ni'mas, the favors He's bestowing upon you? Can't you for 1 hour sitting make some dhikr, the least of it, at least? This is why we say, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. It's كفارة المجلس in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The expiation of the sins done in a majlis, in any session or in any meeting. Brothers, one of the most beautiful statements of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a hadith in جامع الإمام الترمذي and in صحيح بن حبان. One man asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله? What is the best forms of works? Or what is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all acts of worship? In another hadith in جامع الإمام الترمذي, إن شرائع الإسلام قد كثرت علي. The legal rulings of this deen are too many for me. That is to say, there are so many options, supererogatory acts of worship. دلني على عمل. Tell me of something simple I do. The Prophet ﷺ said to the first person who asked about the dearest and most beloved of all works to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to this person, أَنْتَ مُوتَ وَلِسَانُكَ رَطْبٌ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. To die while your tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To die while your tongue is moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that we can leave this masjid with commitment to do daily dhikr. Daily dhikr, every day, morning and evening. We eat 3 meals a day. You feed your body, feed your soul. And be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Relate yourself to Him outside the masjid, outside prayer times, outside the classes of fiqh. Maintain something which connects you throughout your practical life, connects you to Allah, reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maintain a few hundreds of La ilaha illallah, few thousands of Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, a few hundreds or thousands of As-salaa ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few hundreds of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, or يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ, or other forms of dhikr. Maintain some forms of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to me to tell me the proof that this brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everyone who does this sincerely will see the proof in himself. Everyone should see a miracle within himself. We are seeing miracles around the world when people maintain dhikr, what we call awrad, on a daily basis. Maintain dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see how much you get closer to Him. See how much you get help in fighting against your temptations. See how much trees and plants will be grown for you in Al-Jannah. See how much angels will come to serve you and accompany you in your life. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وأن ينفعنا بما يعلمنا إنه سميع قريب مجيب. I ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to allow us to learn what benefits us in this life and allow us to benefit from what we learn. I pray to Allah سبحانه وتعالى to grant us the ability, the energy, the honor of making mention of His names and His verses on every occasion, in every minute of our lives. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity in our dhikr. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to taste the pleasure of the closeness to Him. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all calamities from all the Muslim ummah and grant the people amongst us all, inshallah, remedy and speedy recovery and guidance and increasing light, pouring wisdom in their hearts, all of us, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.